Thank you. So we're going to take requests now. Okay. Let's pray together. Okay. Let me ask a question while we're in prayer. Yeah, just bow your head. What's God saying to you right now? What's the expectation of your heart right now, right here? Has God placed within you a faith to believe that He wants to speak to you? If He's already not, this morning in elders with elders' wives, we prayed that God would manifest His presence and visit us, and that our people will not, that you will not miss your visitation. Jesus wept over Jerusalem when He came into to Jerusalem for that final week, and He wept over Jerusalem and He said, "Oh, they missed their visitation. I wanted to gather them like a hen gathers chicks, and I wanted to do this work, and they missed their visitation." And it's my prayer, it's my expectation, as we prayed this morning, that you will not miss your visitation. God wants to do a work. He wants to move. And when we look at this whole thought of Jesus coming to heal the brokenhearted, the question that we're asking this morning is, what is your wound? And is it still festering after all these years? Jesus wants to visit you today in this moment and put the balm of Gilead on you so that you might be healed from what hurts you. You may be healed of what ails you. It is the promise of God. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would come in a mighty way this morning. That as we read Scripture and as we look at some things that may be a little familiar from last week, but as we move into the question, how do we move from grief to freedom in Christ? How do we do that? How do we see you do that? If there is a visitation of God, and if there's the grace of God, and if there's the eternal Spirit of God, and if there's the omnipresence of God, God, we want to see it, and we want to hear it, and we want to touch it. We want to see it by faith today. And so I ask God in Jesus' name that you'd come and you'd visit us and we'd not miss the visitation. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Isaiah 61, notice what he says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort everyone who mourns, and to grant those who mourn in Zion, we give them a garland instead of ashes. We give them the oil of gladness instead of a mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. So we or they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. It's interesting to me when you look at this passage of Scripture and how powerful it is to see this is who Jesus is and this is what He comes to do. And when He came 2,000 years ago into that synagogue, that home church, that home synagogue where He grew up, where everybody knew Him, and He got up and He read this passage of Scripture, and He closed that Scripture, and this is what He said. He said, we close it. This Scripture is fulfilled. It's being fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. It is being fulfilled right now, and it will continue to be fulfilled. This is who I am, and this is what I come to do. And as you and I move under the headship of Christ, when we were born again into the kingdom of God, born again into the family of God, this great God said, listen, now you're a part of who I am and what I do. And it becomes us. This is who we are. The Spirit of God is upon us because He's anointed us to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bind them up. This is your mission. This is your call. And he might have a different gift, and he might have a different position for you to fulfill that. But we share the same call of God to proclaim the good news to the poor and to bind up broken people and to brokenhearted people, and then to proclaim, hey, there's freedom. And then not only that, to follow up with that proclamation to say, let me be a part of your healing. Let me not just proclaim it, but let me be a part of setting you free. You want to talk about purpose? You want to talk about getting up in the morning excited about who God is and what he wants to do? No matter where you're going to work, no matter where you're headed, no matter what's happening at work, no matter what's happening in that office, no matter what's happening in that classroom. Listen, this is what God says. This is who you are, church. You are proclamators of good news. You proclaim. That wasn't a good word, but that's okay. You proclaim. You're proclaimers of the good word of Jesus. Now, where we've been last week, we've been talking about healing up the brokenhearted. And a broken heart is a heart that's crushed, it's shattered, it's torn, it's hurt, it's wounded. It's the heart that has burst. It just bursts. And the question we began asking last week was, what is your wound? What is it that broke your heart? What is it that maybe back in childhood something took place in your life? Maybe it was rejection or abandonment. Maybe it was parental absence through divorce or through death or through an emotional absence in your life. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was verbal, physical, or sexual abuse. Something that took place when you were young, maybe a little bit older. Maybe it was something that took place last month in your life. But it wounded you. It wounded you. Now, I'm going to say this just right up front. A wound has no power over you in Christ. You hear that? What do you think the shield of faith does? It extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy. And that's words that are spoken. That's actions that are done. And a wound ultimately has no power over you. That wound has power over you when you begin to submit to it, when you begin to nurture it, when you begin to get under its authority. Think about that for a moment. How many times has somebody spoken something up to you that was not nice, that wasn't right, but you didn't get wounded? It didn't wound you. Well, let me ask you a question. If God can empower you not to be wounded one time, can he not empower you to continue not to be wounded the rest of your life? But this is what I find. Usually wounded people who don't take care of the wound, do not submit it to Jesus, that do not allow to come and let him heal it up, they'll get wounded year after year, week after week, maybe month after month, year after year. And a new wound will come, and something will be done, and something will be said. And I'll go through the exercises of the downward spiral if I don't handle that wound rightly. And you know, I think about even self-inflicted wounds. You think about David and when he sinned with Bathsheba. That was a self-inflicted wound. I got a text from a good friend who's sitting in here right now. He said, this is my takeaway from last week. I don't want to be the one who is the wound giver. Wow. What a thought. I want to go the rest of my life and not be the wound giver. That's what I want to live. That's how I want to live. Why? Because we're not wound givers. We're wound healers. Every one of you in this place who know Christ. This is what Jesus comes to do. This is what he comes to do in your life. This is who he is. And this is who you are when he comes into your life to say, listen, the full extent of the kingdom and everything of the kingdom that's mine, all its peace, all its joy, all its life, all its victory, all its conquering is yours in Christ Jesus. You say, well, how come I've not experienced that? How come I'm not walking in that today? You know, I've been meditating on Psalm 16 for 3, 4, 5 weeks. And Psalm 16 is just becoming a new life verse for me, life passage. And there's a verse in there, I think it's verse 6. I have set the Lord continuously before me, because he's at my right hand, I will never, ever be shaken. The reason why we find ourselves wounded and then walking in wounds and walking in unforgiveness and all these other things is because we got our eyes off of Jesus. You say, well, that's just too simple. Well, I'm going to tell you, the scripture says that the gospel is simple. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's difficult. I'm saying it is simple. It is so simple. When I think about this wound, let me just tell you what happens. And go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, if you go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me tell you what happens. We spoke of it last week. I put it in your notes this week. It's going to be on the screen here in a moment. But go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to notice what he says in verse 14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a pot of stew. And you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it for tears. You know, I think what happens is that we get wounded, and then we nurture it. Okay, no, it's going to be on the screen, right? We nurture it, and then we become offended, right? You know, one of the best ways to live life is to be unoffendable. You know, that's just the best way to live life. That I'm going to be unoffendable by the act of my will, by the power of the Spirit of God, by the fulfillment of who God is. I am going to be unoffendable. I'm going to walk in not being offended. But there's some of us in this life that we walk through life ready to be offended. Ready. And you've got an enemy that says, okay, you ready for it? I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. You get wounded, something happened in your childhood, something took place, and all of a sudden you walk one day in that wound, and I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with grieving. Nothing wrong with grieving. Please hear me. You grieve over things, and that's good, and that's right. But the minute that that grief turns to offense, and you move, what you'll do is you'll move to anger, and you'll be angry at that teacher, angry at that daddy, angry at that mama, angry at that brother, angry at that sister, that grandmother, that grandfather, angry at that coach, that teacher, to walk in anger over that. I'll be angry against my wife, and I'll be angry with my husband. And if I don't get that right, I'll start walking in unforgiveness. And I won't forgive. You know, I know there's most of us in this place that we've dealt with these things. Is that right? I mean, you can say, hey, that's happened to me. Right? Right? Let me ask you something. Did anger ever help you? The Bible says, listen, the anger of a man or a woman does not achieve the righteousness of God. Anger against somebody else does not and will never make it right. It'll never make it right. But we walk in anger. And in that anger, we start walking in unforgiveness. And we choose not to forgive. We choose not to release. And then what happens, according to this passage of scripture, and he says it, listen, see to it that you don't allow a root of bitterness to spring up. Because if that root of bitterness springs up, it'll cause you trouble and it will defile everyone around you. That's why we have... we have a Jesus, a Savior, who was what? He was wounded for our transgressions. And we're going to see in a minute how he hung on that cross. And he said of every single person in this life, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's your Savior. That's your Lord. That's your eternal Father, according to Isaiah chapter 9. That's our God. That's our God. When he's dying for the sins of the world, when he's being abused, and he's being abused physically and by words, what is he doing? Father, forgive them. Peter says he just kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And he did not utter a threat, and he did not return the insult for insult. But he kept entrusting himself to the God who judges rightly. This is your God. This is who he is. This is what he does. And when the Spirit of God comes into you, John calls it the seed. It's the seed that comes to crush the head of the enemy in Genesis chapter 3. But it's the seed of the woman, Jesus, that would come into my heart to do the very same thing, to crush the head of the enemy. This is our God. This is who he is. This is what he does. But let me tell you, this is who we are. This is who we are in Christ, and this is what we do. But before you can ever, ever be a wound healer, before you can ever, ever heal brokenhearted people and be a part of that great enterprise of healing people's hearts, you yourself have to experience the healing. You have to. And you know what? Why would God want you to stay wounded for 10 years? 5 years? Why would he want you to stay wounded 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, 12 months, 6 months? Oh, I'm just going to let you be wounded for another 6 months, and then we'll get ready. Why? That's not our God. Is that your God? It's not our God. He heals the wounds of your childhood, of your youth, of your adulthood, whatever that wound is, he comes to heal it. But part of the healing process is something that takes place. And it's not just like, it's not like God doing his part. It's me, God doing his part, but you and I doing our part. And I want to just say, when you look at this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, he is giving you a prescription. He is telling you what to avoid. He is sharing what you do to do. But I want you to notice in chapter 12, verse 1 with me. Would you look at that for just a moment? Chapter 1, because this is a part of how you get out from grief and how you move into freedom. Whatever the grief is, whatever the wound was that caused you to be grieved, and then you began to walk in offense and anger and unforgiveness. And I just want to show you just with all my heart what you can do today. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Are you wounded? Get your eyes off the wound and on to Jesus. Listen, this principle is laced in Scripture. It's just laced in it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We all with unveiled faces are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are keeping our eyes fixed on this same image, and we're being transformed from glory to glory. I mean, listen, it is all over Scripture. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are temporal, but the things that are eternal. It's all over. It's all over Scripture. And just as we prayed earlier that the visitation of God would come upon us, that we would keep our eyes fixed on that and we would not lose that. We'd not lose the sense of God's favor, the sense of God's work, the sense of God's presence. You're wounded, you fix your eyes on Jesus. You look to him. How do I do that? I'm going to tell you, you do it with your mind. You make a choice by the mind. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your mind. And you get to this place that says that I'm going to quit thinking about this wound, and I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to put my face toward it. And that means, listen to me, that means that you and I have to get to a place where we are consuming the word. We're consuming it. We're living on it. We're getting up and having that cup of coffee, and we got it opened, and we're thinking about it through the day, and we're going through our day, and we're listening to the Christian music, and we're listening to, and we're reading devotions, and we're thinking about what we're reading. And we get to the end of the day and we open that word again and we ask God, give us the ability to study it and to dig deeper. If you're not reading God's word, if you're not in scripture, how do you think he's going to teach you in the moment that you really need his grace and his mercy? You know, the Bible says that my people die because of lack of knowledge. And I've got the living word of God from cover to cover that God has revealed himself. It is eternal. It's never going to pass away. It is powerful. It is anointed. It is more than just words on the page. It is life. And I've got to fix my eyes on that. I've got my whole being. I got to face that. I got to get my eyes and my face off the wound. And I have to. I just have to fix my eyes on Jesus. Now watch. Watch. If you're wounded, fix your eyes on Jesus. But if you're wounded, believe what Jesus secured at the cross, you will receive in this life, sooner than later. What Jesus secured at the cross, you will receive in this life. Now listen, I know that you will never be perfected in this life, but you can move toward it, amen. Can't you? Yes, because that's what Jesus says, from glory to glory. And so if I'm wounded, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, and then I'm going to believe. I'm going to ask God to birth within me a faith to believe that what he secured at the cross is available for me right now, right here. Look at verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what does that mean? Well, we looked at a verse last week that I want us to look at again. It's in Isaiah 53, and I want you to just look at it on the screen, okay? I want to say this first of all. When you look at this passage of scripture, he's going to say, our griefs he bore, and our sorrows he carried. Now, let me just say, the cross, at the cross, Jesus bore everything. Sin and everything that sin brought to your life. Really important. Listen, I'll say it again. It's not in your notes. He bore everything on his body, on the cross. Everything that sin brought into the world and brought into this life. When you do a word study of griefs, he bore our griefs. Surely our griefs he bore. Surely our griefs, our maladies, our anxieties, our calamities, and our diseases. Wow. Would I dare believe that today? I mean, that's what a grief is. Malady, anxiety, calamities, diseases. All those things that just grieve us, that just hurt us. And he says, he himself bore them. He lifted it. He carried it. He took it away. He swept it away. Amen. He swept it away. And then watch, our sorrows, our pains, our anguishes, our afflictions, our sorrows, he carried. I tried to look that word up. Do you know what the word carry means in the Hebrew? It means to carry. That's what it means. He carried it. He bore it. Everything that you'd been depressed about, he bore it. Every pain, every self-inflicted pain, the seasons that you doubted, the seasons that you walked in fear and worry, the seasons that you walked in promiscuity and sexual things that were not right before God. And you know that brought pain. It brings pain. Sin will never, ever make your life right. It'll never, ever make you happy. God-directed or self-directed life? I'm going to be God-directed. You know what? He made a way at the cross. I want to believe that he secured this. And he says it in Isaiah chapter 53. He's speaking of this suffering servant. He's a God that is aware of all our suffering, who carried it all for you. But yet, look what he says. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Scripture will go on to say that it's like one we hide our face from. You know, when Jesus, so we talked about in this prayer, we prayed it. When Jesus hit Jerusalem to give his life and to do this, you had a nation that already is missing it. Let me tell you how you know they missed it. It's because when you look at the cross and he's doing this, there's just one disciple, a mama, and her friends, and the few women that followed him. It's all. Everybody else fled. Everybody else began to leave him. He died on the cross doing this, carrying our griefs, bearing our sorrows. Look at the next thing. Look at the next, verse 4. And he was pierced through for our sin. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chasing of our well-being, and the word well-being means is shalom. The chasing for our shalom, for our peace, fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. And I'm asking God for this visitation upon us, and this visitation that we see him, and we see him just as he is, and we hear what he says, and God births within a faith to believe, that's for me, that's for my spouse, that's for my children, that's for our marriage, that's for our family, that's for our church, our community, our nation, our world. A faith that believes, this is what he comes to do. This is who he is. This is what he comes to do. And he wants to do it today. He did it. He secured it at the cross. Will you believe? Will you believe that what he secured at the cross, what he bore, every sin and every heartache and every guilty conscience and every shameful act, he carried it away. Are you wounded? You get your eyes off. You get it fixed on Jesus, and you believe that what Jesus secured at the cross, you'll receive in this life. Wounded. Look at the third thing. Verse 14, we're in 14. I know we've skipped a bunch, okay? We skip a bunch of passages of scriptures to get to 14. Pursue peace with all men and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Let me just tell you what it means to pursue peace with all people. It means to be right with all people. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to pursue peace with everyone. I'm going to pursue it. Now, that might look different. I can't tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, this is what you do in your specific situation of the wounds. I mean, there's some people in your life that may be dead today who wounded you. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you want your wounds to define your future? Do you want those wounds to define your future? No. The only way you want them to define it is by God getting rid of it and you having a testimony that God took it away. Amen? Yeah. But as long as you nurture the wound and as long as you nurture the anger and the unforgiveness and the root of bitterness, it's going to cause trouble and it's going to keep coming up over and over and over in your life until this gets fixed. And it can get fixed because he said he did it at the cross 2,000 years ago for us. You know, none of us in this place who come to Christ have a problem believing that one day we're going to go to heaven because Jesus shed his blood for us and that's what he said. I mean, we don't have a problem with that. We love to quote the verse, he takes our sin and throws it as far as the east is from the west and we remember it no more. Hallelujah! But will we believe that about our wounds? In our grief, in our hurts, in our maladies, in our anxieties, our sorrows. Well, I believe that Because I'm going to say this is part of the good news. You've heard me say it if you've been here any time, what length of time. Jesus didn't come into your life so you can keep getting your head beaten by the enemy. He comes in to give you total, absolute victory. Amen. Man, this is good news, folks. That if somebody is poor spiritually, or even money-wise or emotionally, he's got good news for you. And if there's anybody in my life, and if it's me myself, that I'm wounded and I'm brokenhearted, Jesus says, I've come to heal you. It's part of the gospel message. You know, I can't imagine the gospel message just being affecting spiritual. And that's why when we go to China, we want to minister to the whole man. Physically. We want to minister to the whole person. And God comes to minister to the whole person in this life. Yeah, it's fallen. Yeah, it's broken. Yeah, it's not perfect. But I'm going to tell you. You've heard me say it's not about perfection, but about direction. Let me tell you what else about. It's about consistency. It's just being consistent and walking after this God. But he says this. He says, you pursue peace with all men. Now, Jesus, again, hung on the cross. And what is he saying? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then just a number of months later, Stephen is preaching a gospel, and the Sanhedrin, and Paul is there. He's named Saul at that point, and they all put their coats at Saul's feet, and they proceed to stone him. They're stoning Stephen. And I'm just telling you, these aren't pebbles. These are stones. And they're hitting his body, and they're hitting his head, and it's hitting his limbs, and they're breaking arms, and they're breaking bones, and there's cuts and flesh coming out. And the scripture says, right before he died, he looks up, he sees Jesus, eyes fixed on Jesus. And he says, oh God, do not hold this sin against them. Just like Jesus. Anointed to bring good news, to heal the brokenhearted. He is breathing his last breath, sowing the seed and the love and the gospel of God by walking in forgiveness. And here's the thought. To pursue peace with all men insinuates that there's not peace with some people. Just insinuates it. I mean, if I'm walking in peace with my wife, I don't have to pursue peace. I'm just living in it. This is you pursue it. You run after it. You do everything you can if it's broken to make it right. As far as it depends on you. And I want to say this. See, from grief to offense or being wounded. And then grieving, and then moving to offense, and then moving to anger, and moving to unforgiveness, and then the root of bitterness gets out, and you're a bitter person, and you know it's causing trouble and defiles many. The simplicity of the gospel is that it's so powerful, is that when you're wounded, and I'm grieving, we're grieving, my default must be to what Jesus said on the cross, and what Stephen was being stoned. You know what they're doing? They're pursuing peace with the offender. You know, I just know this. I just got to believe that when God popped Paul, popped him, struck him, man, and his life changed, you don't think he thought about all the people that he did that to? And what do believers do when they're dying for their faith? They're forgiving the people who are killing them. Let me tell you, and if you can forgive the people while they're literally killing you, you can forgive the people who steal from you, who rob from you, who speak evil of you, speak evil to you. It's part of the grace of God that we're going to finish this sermon in a minute. But to pursue peace with all men is Here it is, and I'm going to say it like this. You must forgive. You know, it's interesting because the next thing in that verse is pursue sanctification without which you don't see God. Holiness in Christ has never been an option from the kingdom of grace. Never been an option. Holiness is not an option. Christ-likeness is not an option. It's something that's part of the gospel. That's what we're talking about here. He pursued peace with you, and then you pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, the holiness, the Christ-likeness without which no one will see God. It's part of the package. Can I tell you this? I'm so glad it's part of the package. I'm just so glad it's part of the package. Because Christ-likeness and holiness and sanctification is the freedom of God in this life. It's the freedom that every one of us in this place and every one of you listen online, and if you're listening on a radio today, it's what you're longing for. It's what you're longing for. Peace of God. Shalom of God. He was chastened for our peace, to make peace with God and to pursue the same kind of peace with other people. Now, I'm 58 years old. And when I was 27, and maybe a little bit before, I learned something about the power of forgiveness and how the power of forgiveness will remove anger and resentment. And then it will do this, it will heal your wound. When I was 22 years old, I got under another supervisor. And I could do nothing. I felt like I could do nothing to please him. And I just want to tell you, it's the first time in my life that I felt like somebody didn't like me. Now, I know I must have been naive all my life. But it's the first time I thought, this guy don't like me. I mean, everybody in church, everyone in church all my life, I just have felt loved, liked. I mean, all my childhood, from my mom, my dad, to my brother, to my sister when they came along, to cousins, to friends, to people in the youth group. And then all of a sudden, I can't do anything to please him. And it was a year of it, and it wore me out. It wounded my heart. And we left that, and then I'll tell you, this is how we got to Cottonwood. I had a friend who invited me to come on staff, as youth pastor. And I said yes to that. And we said no to a really vibrant ministry in Oklahoma, the BSM of Oklahoma University. 700-800 college students. We were asked to come be the freshman ministry team with about 150 kids on that team. And and when we said no to that, we had people thinking, "What are you doing saying no to Max Barnett?" That's who his name was. And I was saying yes to a friend and to God. I just thought we were. And so I resigned my church because it was pretty much a deal. And so Johnny and I drove over to my friend's house and walked in. And we sat down. He said, "Mike, I just don't feel like this is supposed to happen." And I was to tell you, no wounds there. Because the night before I journaled, I said, "God, if this isn't where we're supposed to be, please put the brakes on." And so when we got back in the car, I don't know if you remember that, got back in the car, and I just went, "Whew, we're not supposed to be there." Well, I'd said no, resigned, said no. And so we went up to seminary, loaded up, went up to seminary, and 18 months later, this church called us. But I'm going to tell you, at 27 years old, I start experiencing, and you've heard this story, of these fears of dying young, and it got all over me. And it wasn't until 1986 that I began asking God what this is, and in 87, God set me free. But I'm going to tell you, the freedom came when I forgave the supervisor. Forgiveness came. It opened up a flood of grace when I showed grace to my offender. And God healed us of the wound, because Johnny was part of that. He's part of that. Healed the wound. And you know what? It's just like, you know, when the bitterness, I kind of like that. You get a root of bitterness and there's a plant and everything seems to just attach to it. And when you pull that root of bitterness out, everything attached to it dies. It just dies. And we got free. Or I got free. She already was free. Weren't you? I don't know. And you know, I've prayed a prayer something like this. It's in your notes. It's a great example. It's like this. Is it on the screen? Yeah. Father, I confess that I've not loved the following people who have hurt and disappointed me. I acknowledge that my wound has run very deep and I've not allowed you to heal these wounds, and as a result have held unforgiveness in my heart towards that person for the offense. This anger and unforgiveness that I've walked in is sin, and I ask you to forgive me for this bitterness, anger, and wrath that I've walked in. I know that on my own I could never forgive them, but I know that you can through me. So right now, by an act of my will and according to the Spirit of God, I choose to forgive him, her, them, and release him, her, them of the debt. And Lord, I'll no longer walk in agreement with bitterness and unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I make no provision for the flesh, and I choose to put on love. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, and as you have forgiven me, so I will forgive. Thank you for this power. Thank you for this freedom. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? What's your wound? What is it? Absent daddy? Abusive daddy? Absent mom? Drug-infested parents, alcoholics. What's your wound? Didn't work out the way you thought it worked out when you were 8, 10, 15, 21, 40? Got mad at God. Didn't work out. Was it abuse? Was it verbal? Was it things that people said to you over and over and over? Was it your parents' divorce when you're 8, 10, 15, 45? Still hurts. Still hurts. What's the wound? Because when there's divorce, there's an absent parent. It's not there 24/7 for you. And it hurts. It'll hurt you till you're 80 years old. It'll hurt you. It's the negative things that people spoke over you. People who said you can't do this, you can't do that. Is it loss? You lost something? Child died? Grandson, granddaughter, miscarriage. What is it? What's the wound? We live in a fallen world, and the ruler of this world is going to be cast out. Before he's cast out, we get to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Paul said it to the Roman church. He said this, and he says it to you. Satan will soon be crushed under your feet. It's the power of God. But I would tell you, through what I see in Scripture, that we'll probably need to look at next week, forgiveness. Jesus prayed, taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Isn't that interesting? forgive us as we have already forgiven our debtors. Bible says that if you don't forgive your brother from the heart, that the torturers come. There's freedom in forgiveness. And the way we know that is because the day we came to Christ and we knew we were free because he forgave us. And we were new people and we were put on the rock. He placed us on the rock and he made our footsteps firm. And we knew there was power in forgiveness. But as I have been forgiven, so I forgive. I have some folks making their way up right now who are ready to pray for you. And, yeah, Rod, y'all come too, okay? And I'm just going to say, if this has not taken place in your life where you're forgiven, this is where it begins today. To forgive and to receive God's forgiveness. You know, it's interesting because the writer of Hebrews would go on to say, make sure you don't receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? It means that God offers me the grace, but I don't let grace do what grace is supposed to do. And according to Titus, it's supposed to instruct you to deny ungodliness and worldly desire and to live righteously and godly in this present age. And if I just think grace is so I can keep on going in my bitterness and anger, you've got the wrong definition of grace. Grace is the power of God to fix you, along with the blood, along with the cross, along with the resurrection of Jesus, along with the word, along with the church, everything you need to be free. And I want to ask, identify the wound, and this is why I'm wounded. And it may be a man or a woman, or it may be God himself. Because I want to tell you, if you believe in a sovereign God, your anger is ultimately going to point to him. And the best way to freedom is to release it and forgive. I'm going to call for an invitation. To sing, you're going to have the opportunity to sing and have the opportunity to stay in your seat, make things right. Maybe you need the help from somebody up here. Maybe you just need to go to the altar. Maybe you're at the place that, you know, I'm all fessed up. I've forgiven everybody. But you know what? I've got something brewing right now that I need to get down. We need to get down as a family so that this thing that's brewing right now, we don't move to offense. So this is both a healing time and it's also a time to be protected. So you might come up and say, hey, I've been walking in this. I've been walking in it. And now I need to be free from it. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to lay it down. Or, hey, I need you to pray and ask God to hedge me in because I've got something brewing right now that's going to lead me to be offended. And I want to walk toward forgiveness. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd come and you'd visit us and we'd not miss the visitation. God, if there's somebody here that you're just stirring and they know their heart's beating 100 miles an hour right now. And they know that they know they have to, they know they've got to do this. They know it. But Lord, it's not so much the have to, it's more, it becomes, Lord, I want to. I want to. And I pray, God, they'd come and not miss you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing this together. You come. You come right now. If you just need to kneel, you come kneel. Amen.